Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 498, The Kitchen.
Quickly approaching 500.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we won't do our regular introductions because there's two regulars and one becoming a semi-regular.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kevin's out of town, and I think he's out of town. He just said he wouldn't be here. Did he say what he was doing?
I think he's in Branson.
Oh, okay.
So he's not really out of town.
But it's
yeah. Out of St. Louis.
I would make fun of him for going to Branson, but like I think we're going to go over Christmas, so he gets a pass. Cause only because I'll get made fun
absolutely.
Of. And I don't want
yes.
that.
I've never been to Branson. 37 years old, and I was like, no, I'm good.
I think Branson's logo... I think Branson's logo... Slogan. There we go.
I like Slogo.
Yeah, I know.
Trademark Real Spoilers.
I think Branson's slogan should be, Branson, it's not as bad as you think. But you got to say it. You got to go up an octave.
Sure, sure.
It's not as bad as you think.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. That's what I think.
Yeah,
so,
I like it. I like it.
You have Joe.
Isn't that where they have all the like hillbilly signs though?
Yeah,
I could do without that.
I think that went away though. I think that went out of business, which is weird to think in such a red state. That
sure. I don't know. We should probably get rid of that.
Thought they were kind of having a second moment. But
oh no, they're having a moment.
Yeah, but yeah. But I should also say that. So Crystal is sitting in. That's my wife.
Ta-da.
Hi.
So
hello.
Be nice to her. And
I just
meant the listeners.
Oh,
but so she
they
saw
were
the
very
movie.
Nice the last time
I was
here.
They were. They were very nice. And so
what were you on? What was it?
50
Shades of Grey?
No.
I mean, she did do that one.
There
but,
was another movie like you guys didn't
we were
have
short somebody
in,
and
like,
she sat in.
Yeah. And it was kind of last minute. Like I was about to get on the bike and it was like, okay, I'm doing this now.
She happened to go. She hardly ever goes to screens with me. And she happened to go to this one because she's a woman. It's got Kitchen in the title.
Totally get it.
Do you?
Yeah. So,
do you?
Yeah. So yeah. She was like, that should have been. Was that the slogan
and
for this
I'm
movie?
Done.
That was the, that was the slogan for this movie.
That should have been like that would have been a great. And it's now I'm like, maybe it was and I'm forgetting. But like a woman's place is in the kitchen. Like how great when with what the kitchen really is supposed
sure.
to be in this movie.
Sure.
That
I think would've, that would have opened the door for
yeah,
stuff they don't want.
I think,
but it's like ironic. It's tongue in cheek.
No,
it's like because they're running the
we
kitchen.
We get it.
You know? Like that's
yeah.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah. Sarcasm doesn't always read well.
Yeah. Well, I've learned over the years.
That Key and Peele sketch rings more and more true every day. Where they're just like, have you seen that one where he misinterprets all of the texts?
Right.
Like he's saying he was like they're very like Peele is just like, yeah, dude, whatever. And he reads it like, whatever. Like, what
yeah.
do you mean whatever?
So before we dig into the movie proper, we should probably do some shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts where you can go rate, review, and subscribe. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. And while you're there, join the League of Show Sharers, which is a subgroup where you can start conversations that will actually be seen, unlike on a page where it just gets posted on some side thing and nobody ever sees it.
Hopefully they're not Russian bots, but we've had a bunch of people like kind of requesting to come on in. So
yeah,
feel free to do so.
We do our best to vet them to make sure that they're not Russian bots.
I try to look at like the day.
Are Japanese bots okay?
The Russian ones are the ones that we got to worry about at this
Japanese invented bots. I can't turn down a Japanese bot.
I was just understanding the rules.
I mean, you know, like,
typically it's Japanese bots and Chechen hookers.
That's true. Yeah,
that's what we get.
Yeah, usually if it says that you just joined Facebook in 2017. Decline.
Even that, but like some of them are like really like it's like they joined like 2 days ago.
Right. Like no.
It's like nope, No.
You joined in 2007? I'll allow it.
Yeah, I don't think somebody's like, I listened to Real Spoilers. I loved it so much, I joined Facebook.
And if that's the case, Zuckerberg, you owe us some money.
Yes. Yeah. So while you're there, you can also join the League of Show Sharers, which is very simple. You just share the show. And so people who were kind enough to share the show with friends and family this week were Librarian Cynthia, Susan Carlson, Gabriel Lugo, Jason Weese, Tom Comiskey, Chris Sanders, Julianne Jordan, Griffin Fox Smith, Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Zara Vandercreek.
I was just going
to
ask.
That's always a fun one to say. Yeah. Timmy Two Zunes, Chris Magic Man, Ralph Tribble, Ron Johnson, Dylan A. Lang, Glenn Brewer, Lane Levanway, Brent Smith, and Nick Scott. So thank you very much for
absolutely
helping. Let other people know.
Can
about
I just
us
say hi to Laura? That's so cool. Laura Conley Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
She listens to the clip out.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, a Peloton
what
user.
What is happening? So Crystal and I have a podcast about the world of Peloton.
Oh, trust me, Tom. I hear about it all the time.
And the listeners might not be aware. And so, Laura Conley Quinn drifted in.
That's awesome.
From the clip out. So.
She came from the clip out to Real Spoilers?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yes.
All right. So I guess it's working out.
For her,
I'll take one.
When worlds collide.
If Power Man 5000 has taught me anything.
And that's really the only thing they can
it really
you
is yeah.
So there, that's all that I guess. Let's dig into the kitchen.
So for anybody that this is a comic book movie,
yes,
like this is based off
have
of
you read this?
I have not. It's fine. I think the comic plays a little bit better. It was I think it was like a 6 to 8 issue run.
Yeah,
so it's a little mini, but it's interesting that they have started kind of to mine the Vertigo books. Like this is a Vertigo series that post Karen Berger, like after Karen Berger left, they tried to kind of revamp that whole adult onlys line,
right?
And this was one of those books, and when I saw this announced, I was like, that's funny, there's a comic book by the same name. And I was like, oh, it is.
Oh,
the
it
comic
is that
book. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Was it like inspired by a superhero or something?
No, so Vertigo is kind of like the adult's imprint.
Okay.
So they would do stories that they couldn't do in the standard DC universe.
Gotcha.
That were like a little too, like, not even necessarily when we say adult dirty,
just like,
but
edgy.
Just yeah,
more
or
mature.
Just, yeah, just, or they would have like
darker,
slower builds to their stories,
right.
And the art was a little bit more esoteric.
It wasn't like boom, pow.
No.
Yeah, and it was,
it was like, I mean, it was Constantine and Swamp Thing and Preacher
Sandman.
Okay.
Like,
gotcha.
Like Sandman kind of is what forced them into the Vertigo world.
Okay.
That Sandman started as a DC imprint, and around what, issue
it was
7,
that
8?
And Swamp Thing both.
Yeah. Around issue 7 or 8, it switched to Vertigo,
right, yeah.
And it was like between that and Swamp Thing, they were both pretty dark.
They were doing some heavy stuff.
Yeah, like Swamp Thing. Like when you read the plot of Swamp Thing, you would think there's no way this could be a smart comic book for grown ups.
It's a scientist who got covered in muck and then became the Swamp Thing.
Yeah, that deals with grown up issues.
Then Alan Moore took over and we're like, oh,
yeah,
we're going somewhere with this.
Right.
And it's completely off the rails.
Yeah. And
in
then,
a good way.
Right.
Yeah,
and then Constantine spun out of that.
It
right.
Did, yeah.
And so they all of a sudden had these three kind of books that were nothing like anything else. And I think I always thought, like, didn't Gaiman push back? Like, they wanted him to include some DC characters in Sandman. And like he did it. You'd see it at the very early part.
They did that in Swamp Thing as well.
And it was just dumb.
Yeah.
And it was, and they were like, there is no place for mandatory crossovers.
There was an issue of Swamp Thing where Batman shows up and it's very jarring. Cause you're like, wait a minute. Like, why is Why is Batman in this? I don't like this at all. Yeah. And he's not. It's not like the 1989 Batman. It's the 70s Batman with like the gray and blue and yellow.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Like, then you contrast that with what the style was. But so, yeah. So this is, it's based on that. But I'm trying to think. It was Ming Doyle, I think, was the artist. And the writer was Ollie Masters, just to give them the credit that they are due. So, yeah, this story is based in the 70s. And I got to tell you, I loved the opening credits. Like, I love the old throwback,
yeah,
New Line logo and the Warner Brothers logo.
Straight up a VHS.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So that was when Nightmare on Elm Street came out. That was their logo.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it looked like.
Hmm.
So it's based, it sets in the 70s in Hell's Kitchen. And we've got Tiffany Haddish, Melissa McCarthy. This is why Kevin's not on the show.
Oh,
the Melissa McCarthy.
Can't stand Melissa McCarthy.
I actually have that in common with.
Do you really?
Yeah, I don't have hatred for her.
Oh, his is like.
Yeah, it's not that deep, but
spewing
it's
spewing venom.
She does get on my nerves.
Do you, or is it is it the ones where she does it with her husband, or is it this?
I don't think she pays enough attention.
I have no clue. She's just like, I don't like that all of her characters that seem to resonate with popular culture are all like really ditzy and
dumb.
How
did you feel about her in this?
And I liked it. I thought it was going to be terrible. When I heard it was Tiffany Haddish and her, I was afraid they were going to make this into a comedy. That's where I thought this was going. And I was like, oh, I don't know about this.
And that is not what happened.
No.
I do think there are some scenes where the tone gets a little lighter.
It does.
You know, like
I think they need to do that, though.
I would agree with that. I would agree with both those things.
And Elizabeth Moss, who are our three main characters, and they are all either married or involved with men who are part of the Irish mob in Hell's Kitchen at this time. And also, I was like, well, where's Daredevil? If we're going to Hell's Kitchen,
Vertigo's
DC.
Come on,
I get it,
Joe.
But still, it's just like,
you of all people should not be asking.
I also feel
that
like
question.
DC shouldn't make books set in Hell's Kitchen. Like,
well, it's a real place.
Yeah, it's true. It is.
Although, because it's Vertigo, right? Because DC, that's the other education for Crystal. So DC used fake towns that represented the real counterpart.
Okay.
Metropolis, Gotham,
okay.
Central City.
Right. So yeah. Metropolis and Gotham are both New York.
Did you know they're across the bay from each other?
Yeah, that sounds vaguely familiar.
I'm totally making that up. That's from BVS, where they're just like, oh, no, they're right across the bay.
Is that what it was? Like, oh, man, that's why it's in my head. Yeah. But Gotham and Metropolis are kind of like, Metropolis is kind of like the futuristic, clean, shiny, all, everything good that New York represents. And Gotham is like what it really is.
Gotham in 77.
Gotham is like New York in Serpico.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay. I always thought Chicago was Gotham and New York was Metropolis, but that has been debunked where they said it's both. Like, it's both sides of New York are those cities.
But they refer to New York sometimes as Gotham.
They do.
And so I was like, how could you think it, you know?
Just the way it looks. I think the Nolan stuff kind of added to that.
It's weird to think, because there's other cities that represent other real cities.
Right.
And so, like, it's weird to have one that represents two. But New York is.
It is what it is.
And that's why it's New York, New York, right? It's two cities.
Two cities, yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, the premise of this movie is fairly simple. It's not. There's one twist that honestly I didn't see coming, and I was like, oh man, okay. So I read the book after I saw the movie.
Okay,
yeah, and I was like, okay,
I did not see it coming either.
Really?
Yeah, and
which says a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but I think some of it was because I didn't think the movie was like
going that
smart enough. And
I agree.
Also, like, it resolved what I thought was poor writing.
Yep.
And which is good and bad, because when it resolves what you think is poor writing that kind of the whole movie hinges on,
yeah,
you spend the bulk of the movie thinking that was really poorly written.
And then they fix it and you're
and
like,
and then
oh.
They fix it. And they clearly fixed it in a way that wasn't someone at the end thought, oh, we need to address this, throw in a line of dialogue.
Right.
Like, the whole movie hinged on that. But it does the film, they do themselves a disservice, because you spend the movie thinking, well, that would never happen.
Yeah, right. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
So the three, we find, you know, there's three different relationships. So you've got Melissa McCarthy and her husband, who are a very loving relationship. Like, it's, she knows what she married into. She accepts what she married into. Right. Like, when he says, "I got a thing," she's like, "Okay." Like,
he only
careful.
Hits her when she's got it coming.
Yeah, right, right.
That's
unlike
what,
Elizabeth Moss.
That's
husband.
What passes for loving in he, a mob relationship.
At least he
year.
Was. He never put hands on her. Like,
right.
He seemed,
yeah,
like,
they
he,
seemed like that was a legit happy relationship.
It didn't seem like you know, the two from Goodfellas.
Right.
You know what I'm
right.
saying? And then you've got Elizabeth Moss and her husband, who are not functional. Like,
no.
She's already got, like, the second we see her, she's got a massive gash on her face from where he put hands on her. And then you've got Tiffany Haddish and her husband, who, it's an interracial marriage, which, I mean, that in the 70s in a hardcore Irish family,
right?
That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, that was tough anywhere in the 70s.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's yeah. very true.
And it's not always easy now, but it was.
Wait. It's way easier now
yes.
than it was then.
Yes.
And
especially as part of the mob.
Yeah, right, right. The, yeah. The Irish Catholic boy.
Especially
yeah.
when they're all about, you don't bring in an outsider.
Right.
Big
so,
time, big time.
Yeah.
And I do, like, I appreciate the fact that they give you those three very different relationships
yeah.
with these three different women.
Was this character black in the comics?
I don't think so. I don't believe
you just read it. I thought,
yeah, but like the art style is
he doesn't see color.
Yeah, I don't see. Yeah. The art style is she Ming Doyle has a very distinct art style, and it's kind of hard to tell.
Gotcha.
Like what nationality they're supposed to be?
Right.
Okay.
But
it's a major plot point in the film.
It is. So I'm
is
pretty
it a
sure
plot point in the comics.
Yes.
Well, then she must have. Been.
Yeah, she must have been. I literally just like was like. Trying to
yeah.
burn through it last night to get to
he
make sure
perused.
I yeah.
He didn't read.
I got the plot points.
Well, okay, he's looking at just for the pictures, but
right.
but the
but
pictures would answer the question
if she's black
in this
or
situation.
Not. Yes. So you've got like the line where he's like, it's also he marries Kevin, who is the Tiffany Haddish's husband, also feels super racist. You know, like he calls her lazy. And I think
yeah.
he may use the term like you people.
I don't remember that, but I do remember the lazy thing. But I kind of felt like that was just that like asshole guy of that generation.
Yeah, that could be. But I felt like in that same scene where he said you people are so lazy, or maybe he just said you people or just said you
yeah.
are lazy because like she didn't get the right beer.
Yeah.
Right.
She didn't get yeah. Schlitz. And I was like, it's probably for the best that yeah. she didn't buy your Schlitz because that's gross.
I really thought when they cut to her at the end of that scene,
yeah.
she should have been drinking a Schlitz.
I agree.
But she did drink a beer, but not
she was drinking a Miller.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Which is also just as gross.
Yeah. but I thought it would have been great if she was like,
she
no, she
that.
Actually got it, but
yeah,
just,
it's not for you.
Not for you.
But
not
F
for you.
This guy.
Yeah, right, right, right. So the husbands are going to pull one last job because like I guess they're trying to break away or they're trying to start their own little thing in Hell's Kitchen. And as they're doing it, the cops show up and it's Common, and some other dude and
uncommon.
I mean, that other guy was fairly common.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like Common is the uncommon one.
Right.
But like, this is the scene where I was like, man, they're getting their asses kicked like pretty easy. Like, what are we?
That was exactly yeah. Tom's response.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, they got the drop on two FBI agents.
Were they the feds? Were they the? I guess
yeah.
they were the feds.
Yeah, they
yeah.
were the
you're
feds.
Right.
And I was like, come on,
right?
Like,
and they're like
maybe
they're,
some low level cops.
And
no
I was
offense,
just like, I guess that's why you wait for backup.
Yeah,
but he had backup. Like
right.
that was his partner
well,
was the backup.
It was
I know,
way
but,
back.
But they said they called for backup before they ran
that's
in.
That's true. That's true.
And so I was just like, I guess that's why. You wait
yeah.
so you don't get your ass handed to you when you get to the door.
And they did. And
yeah.
I was like, well, that was all
but
right.
like even in that scene, like his reaction was slow.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, how would he ever get the drop on this guy? Like, and so the you know, spoiler, the film resolves that
yes.
this guy is this FBI agent is
in with
is dirty.
Yes.
And was letting this happen. But,
correct. He set it all up.
But you don't find that out until like
almost
20 minutes.
End.
20 minutes from the end?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think it might even be further than that.
Yeah.
And
like,
that's
I mean,
this movie also has the advantage. It's an hour and 40 minutes. That was me, sorry.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. You know, like an hour 40.
I don't. Like, this isn't something I say very often. I don't know. I think this movie needed to be longer.
Interesting.
In order to be better. Now,
they definitely move.
I don't think it I don't think being longer would have made it better because I, like, there were other things I also thought were substandard. Overall, like, I found the film reasonably enjoyable.
I thought it was fine. I did enjoy it. It was.
But, yeah, like, nothing I would ever revisit.
Nah.
I feel like it could have been something I would revisit, but I felt like they were, you know, they were trying so quickly to get to things.
And they did move real quick.
Yeah, that, like, it started to kind of strain credulity where it was like.
Ooh, good word.
Thank you. Well, you know, strain was my word of the day on my calendar. I just think they got places too quickly in the story. That it just didn't seem plausible.
When they start pulling down some serious cash, I was like, man, that was...
Yeah, when
it happened in like 24 hours where people are okay with paying you already?
Right.
And I guess it makes sense because, I mean, they kind of allude to the fact that Melissa McCarthy's character is known in the neighborhood.
Right.
So, like...
But for all the kind of the take on, like, it's a very sexist time...
Yes.
Like, people were real quick to be like, yeah, I'll trust the lady mobsters.
Who, I know, and they only had the one guy or the two guys
they had
at the
two
very
guys,
beginning.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. They were very quick to be. But at the same time, like, if you're paying dirty people to keep you safe and they're not keeping you safe, like, who cares? And then
that's
I was
a valid
also
point.
I was also like, why are you guys paying anybody? Like, I don't even understand that.
Well. So you don't pay.
Yeah.
And then your
and
windows
then
get busted out. Or,
right. Which seemed to be happening anyway.
That was that's so fair. That is in any mob movie. That is always a point of contention is like either you pay us. And we may or may not show up and this will happen. Or you don't pay us and we'll do it to you anyway. So the three husbands go to jail. They're just like, we'll be out in 2 days. Well, they get sentenced to 3 years
three
or
years,
something.
Yeah.
And now you've got little Jimmy, which I was just like, Jimmy Jr. Maybe was his name. The other guy.
Little Jackie.
There we go.
Who takes over. I got to say, the gal that plays little Jackie's mom, I guess, was on Justified. She's a fantastic actress.
I think
she may have won. She may have gotten an Emmy for something else.
I don't know, but
she's
I
amazing.
Hated her so much.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
it's crazy because on Justified, she kind of plays a similar character, but there are moments where you are sympathetic for her, but overall you're like, no.
And she's Kevin's mother. You said
I'm
Jimmy.
Sorry. Yes,
yeah.
Kevin's mother, but like she's kind
little
of
Jackie's mom too.
Yeah,
aren't Kevin and little Jackie brothers?
They must be.
I think they are because she's in charge of the. Like she's basically in charge of the.
Oh,
family.
I didn't get that they were brothers.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, this is Margot Martindale.
Yes,
from BoJack Horseman.
Oh, really?
Which
I didn't realize
watch.
That she was on. That.
She's a running gag on BoJack Horseman. He uses her for when he needs people to help him with like. Like tricking people and he
they,
like
they bring her
and
in
and they bring her in like and then it'll be like oh no it wasn't really this person it was esteemed character actress Margot Martindale.
That's hilarious.
Like it's so random.
She's fantastic.
Yeah.
And she
and
does
if you haven't watched BoJack Horseman.
Is that the Will Ferrell? Not
the,
Will,
the Will Ferrell.
Will Arnett.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Will Arnett. Yeah.
All right.
And
it's on Netflix, yeah?
Yeah, okay. It's funny and surprisingly dark and touching.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's but yeah, she plays kind of like the head of this family, the unofficial head of this family where no deals or anything go down without her say-so. So she's basically giving the go-ahead for little Jackie to give Melissa McCarthy, Tiffany Haddish, and Elizabeth Moss like pittance, basically. So all the three ladies get together and like, look, we got nothing. And so we have got to do something to get more money and or to figure this out. So they all kind of go and have a meeting with little Jackie and like the little Irish mob and little. It's weird. Like there's a little Jackie's character does a weird turn. So like when they're at the bar after the sentencing goes down and their husbands are in jail, little Jackie is very nice to them.
Right.
And cordial. But as soon as they come back, he's like. He's going full Ray Liotta.
Yeah, he's very
like
over the
big,
top of
a
that
big
scene.
Jump.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What? All right, like I'm fine with the big jump. Like if that's what we're doing, that's fine."
But it was really over the top.
Really over. He loved that. That scenery tasted real good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it tasted awesome.
He like tripled their budget.
Yeah, right.
And we should probably say so. Like they were going to take care of. They were going to pay the wives,
yes,
so they could still support themselves.
Because they didn't work, like they were stay at home.
Right, they took care of.
That's
the
why
family.
It was called the good old days.
Oh,
man,
when the women didn't work,
I'm glad
the good old days.
I'm glad
that's nice.
Yeah,
to
I
know,
probably
Tom.
Shouldn't say that.
I'm
to
glad
the,
she's your wife,
the one that makes more money.
I was like, well, let's sit down and discuss this, shall we?
So, but. He's bad at his job, and collections are down.
Right, right.
And so they don't get very much money.
Exactly.
And they excuse me, sir.
Can we get some extra cash?
We'd like to eat and pay the rent.
And he goes off.
Yeah.
And he was like, and she even said, she's like, I'll do the collections for you. And he was like, no, I don't know. Blah, blah. Just go. I mean, he goes like Al Pacino in 88 Minutes crazy.
Right.
You know, like, so finally they sit down and they're just like, you know what? We're just going to take it upon ourselves to do this. They have and it's interesting. Tiffany Haddish is really the Tiffany Haddish and Elizabeth Moth are the two that kind of have a character arc in this, where Melissa McCarthy kind of stays level.
I don't know. I feel like she has a
she gets balls.
Yeah. I mean, I think her character arc is that she goes from happy homemaker to being like, no, I do want to run this and I enjoy.
Right.
You know,
she pulls some stuff at the end of this movie. I was like, that's hardcore. Like that's the way that's going to go down.
Right.
But okay. So they decide to start going around to these places and start asking like, look, if you're paying little Jackie X amount of dollars to take care of you, he's not taking care of you. If you pay us, we'll make
and
sure.
I
this
feel
is okay.
Like there's something that's cut out because they even allude to the fact that like pay us the money. And we'll make sure that Jackie gets paid. Like,
no, they said they'll make sure that anything you owe Jackie will go to Jackie. They didn't say they were going to pay him every week. It was only the part that they owed Jackie for that week.
But they would still owe money, theoretically, going forward.
I thought I was with Crystal. Is that
I thought it was no one longer, time.
You,
like,
we'll take care of your back due balance with Jackie, but everything else after that is coming to us.
But where were they got the money to take care of that?
It's not like they had freaking contracts. So.
Right. Well, I mean, like, I think
and they didn't
they
do
would...
it anyway. It was kind of a lie.
Right.
So
I think they were. Yeah, they would say that, be like, look, we got you. And then they wouldn't do it.
Right.
So one of my favorite scenes is the scene with the old woman in the restaurant and the old man.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was great. Where they go in and she was just like, they pay, you know, he pays him whatever. He's like, and it was like typical old man where he's just like, whatever.
It reminded me of the old couple in The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Miracle Max.
Totally, totally.
Miracle Max.
Yeah. So they start making some waves and like people are like, little Jackie's going around to collect and they're saying like,
We've already paid.
We paid the girls. And so, I think they tune up the two people that they have working for. So they two guys from the Irish mob come with them. And then I do like this scene, too, where like the two guys are sitting at a bar. Two guys come in from behind them and the guys are just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
And they get the bejesus beat out of them. And then they kind of say like, look, we can't do this. Like this is not what I signed up. Like it was fine. And apparently the big bald guy and Melissa McCarthy are cousins. So they're just kind of like, look.
Family and all that,
but I don't feel like getting punched in the face anymore. So they have to go back to little Jackie. This is where, so Elizabeth Moss is taking out the trash and she's attacked by little Jackie.
Well, first he threatens her. They're in the bar.
That's right.
And
that's
they have
right.
The
that's
confrontation,
right.
Confrontation. And that's when Tiffany Haddish is like, I told you wouldn't do anything. And then they go see the mom.
Right. Right.
See, and
right.
This scene played weird to me.
Which part? Scene in the bar or the
star? In the bar.
Yeah.
Because Tiffany Haddish is like, see, I told you he wouldn't do nothing, which I thought they were trying to bait him.
That's what I thought, to hit a woman.
And then he would overreact and they would take him down and now they would have secured their place of power.
Right.
But that wasn't what happened, which then made me think.
Or maybe he didn't bite.
Or that there was some sort of conversation that we missed beforehand that either explained that she didn't think he was enough
to do something.
Right. Or that they were trying to bait him and it didn't work. Mm. And but like I just her tone
it felt like something got cut.
Her tone seemed very different from the other two ladies' tones.
But we know what's coming.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
I think what he's saying is at the end, does that kind of resolve itself?
No, not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like we know what's coming with her and her character.
Yeah.
So I feel like this is kind of the seeds are being planted that she's not gonna put up with any bull.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then it gets even more like that when they go see the mom.
Right.
And she's kind of standing up for it. And the mom's kind of like, I mean, you can try to do this. I don't know what you're going to do in 3 years when they get out, but good luck. So then Elizabeth Moss is taken out of the trash and she's attacked. And little Elizabeth Moss's character is starts off very mousy and timid, and obviously she's been abused, so she's got, you know, she's got some PTSD going on. Well, all of a sudden, as little Jackie is about to rape her, his brain, like, this is the first act of violence where I was like, okay, this is a mob movie.
Yeah.
Like, when his brains are legitimately blown out the front of his face
onto her.
Yeah,
and, like,
that was...
and there's Domhnall Gleeson, and I was like, oh, I didn't, all right, cool, let's, I forgot he was even in this movie. And
the blonde guy.
The blonde guy, yeah, Gabriel.
Okay.
Who is crazy pants.
Apparently.
Yes. He kind of, like, steps up and he protects her, and they start to engage in a relationship
centered around bloodlust.
Yeah. So he's,
yeah,
like,
that's weird. Yeah. That went a whole different way.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, Mickey and Mallory are in this movie.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Mickey and Mallory. Wow. Well done. Yeah. I always forget that that was a thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about.
That's Family Ties.
No, that's Nick and Mallory. Mickey and Mallory. Right? Am I getting the names wrong? Mickey and Mallory were natural born killers.
Oh, I think you are right.
Okay.
I don't know their names.
Yeah, it was Nicky and Mallory was what I was like.
Yeah, it was Nick.
Did they go
Nick,
off?
Nick, yeah. Yeah.
The it's, hell like, version of Nick. Family Ties, yeah, were you watching?
That one, apparently.
Yeah. It was Mafia Family Ties.
They just disappear for a while, and all of a sudden you start seeing their pictures on the news as to what happened to Nick and Mallory. So Domhnall Gleeson kind of, like, walks them through how to cut up a body. And I do like that this is another, like, character moment where Melissa McCarthy, like, he's like, you got to cut here, and this breaks here, and then you're da-da-da. And then Melissa McCarthy's like, I'm going to go. Like, this is super gross. But Elizabeth Moss kind of, like, kneels down beside him, and she was like, can I pop his lungs?
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, absolutely. Take this one. It's sharper. So now Elizabeth Moss is kind of getting, she's becoming the enforcer of this trio.
Yeah. And loving it.
And every second of it. And this is what we're talking about, where things pick up quickly, where they are making lots of waves.
They establish their presence or ownership of Hell's Kitchen very quickly.
Yes.
Quickly enough that, like, it doesn't feel plausible.
No.
And I really felt like this would have been better served by being, like, a season of television.
I absolutely agree. There a lot of these Vertigo books, I don't, with the exception of, like, no, not even that. I think they lend themselves better to television.
Yeah.
I don't think you can tell a Constantine story in a movie that will do it justice.
Right.
You know, and Swamp Thing, go watch that thing on the DC Universe app. Like, that show is
fantastic.
The show is, like, I'm not saying, like, if you can find the show somewhere else,
yeah,
like,
I'm
do
just
it.
Not paying for the app.
I don't blame you at all. Because it's, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah. But, like, I paid for that show.
And that app's going to crash and burn here soon. And they'll roll it into something else.
Yeah, it'll be on the Warner Brothers Plus app.
I think so. Like, I don't think that stuff's going to.
No.
They overreached.
They did. And it was weird. Like, I don't know what they were trying to get to. Like, who are you trying to compete with right now?
Yeah,
you know, like, Disney announced it, but that was, like, the parent company.
Right.
It's not like Marvel was like, we have our own streaming service. We don't know what we're going to put on there.
Yeah. But, like, I think Marvel could have maybe pulled it off because they have enough content and they could create, you know, and they have a track record of quality that DC doesn't have.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. But that Disney Plus app, I got to tell you, I told Leanne, I was like, so for $12.99, we get Hulu, Disney and ESPN Plus, and she was like, "No, you don't."
How much is it if I don't get ESPN?
I don't. That's the
I
thing.
I don't care.
I don't even know what would be on ESPN Plus that I would give a stuff
but
about.
I think they're gonna start showing the games and stuff on there.
They
but
might.
I just don't care about the games and stuff.
But I mean, even what do you pay for Hulu's? What, $7?
Well, we pay $11.99
for ads free.
So
it's totally like if you
fancy.
I mean, so for an extra buck.
Oh, yeah. No,
you get
it's a
Disney.
Well, as long as Hulu still doesn't have commercials.
Oh, good point.
Yeah.
Those bastards.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
That's how they get you. So I feel like the Vertigo books lend themselves. Like Preacher, another prime example of that would never work as a movie.
Right.
That needed to be a TV show. So, yeah, they speed this up quickly, where all of a sudden they're making money hand over fist. And they, you know, they're the Irish guys are getting pissed, but now they're starting to like muscle in on, do we get to the Jewish guy? Do they sit down with, like, they talk about, like, there's a new building?
It's because they go in, they're like, collecting their money, they're getting their, they're going around, like, building their little empire, but they go in to talk to the union, and the union's like, do you guys deal with anybody else this street? And that's when they go to the Jewish guy.
Got it. We also said there's also a little bit of contention between Melissa McCarthy and her dad, like, where the dad's like, man, this isn't how I raised you. Mm-hmm. Like, I raised you to be honest. And she was like, yeah, but you know, and then I do like where he's like, that's your mom's side. Like, that's your mom's people. That's not how we raised you.
I like how she calls him on it later when he's like, I'm just a union worker and I'm construction and I don't get involved in all this stuff. And she's just like, every job you've ever had has been because of this stuff.
Yeah. You've been out of work for three. You are working because of me.
Yeah.
It was kind of bold.
Yeah,
she was right.
Well, if Crystal can cuss, I'm cussing.
Oh, sorry.
No.
I cuss on my own podcast.
Yeah. You also edit your own podcast.
Sorry.
No, don't be.
But yeah, so they go see the rabbi. They go see the rabbi, and I do like where he immediately goes into like the super sexist, like, I can't be in a room, like, he's got his niece there or something.
Well, but that's also a religious
totally legit
tenet. Like, that's, I mean, it's also rooted in sexism, but it's not.
It is a real thing, though, because, like, she was wearing a wig, like the traditional Hasidic views or Jews. They do that. They have to cover their
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And
I
so they
that
wear
was her hair.
So they wear wigs instead of having their hair exposed.
Yeah, because they cannot show their hair. And we only learned about that because the Peloton podcast. An Orthodox, modern Orthodox Jew on our podcast. And
interesting.
She explained, I didn't know that either. So.
Yeah, and she loves the bike because when you go to the gym, you have to be modest, so she would have to be covered head to toe.
You have to wear a skirt. You have to wear, like,
even while you're working out.
Yes.
If you're in public. If there are, now, I guess they could go
she
to
could
a,
go to an all-female all, gym.
An all-female gym and then dress, you know.
However she wanted.
But so, like, the bike has become very popular in that community because you can just do it in your home and wear whatever you want.
Right.
Not have to worry about it.
You don't
but
have
she's
to wear
like,
the wig. And
she would even have to keep her head completely covered as she was working out.
Right.
Which is extremely.
So she'd have leggings on, but then she'd have to have a skirt over the leggings. So it was very cumbersome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it like struck a chord. That's why I remember that scene because I was like, oh, good that they actually put that in.
Interesting.
Because that's important
I had no
to that
idea.
Community.
That's, that's legit and not legit. That sounds awful.
It sounds uncomfortable.
So they kind of lay it out for him. They're like, look, you want to build this. We're fine with you building that, but you need to hire X amount of a percentage of workers come from the kitchen. And he was just like, no.
Right.
Like he's like, I pay Brooklyn. And they were like, cool. How often have they been down here for you?
Yeah.
And they were just like, what? And I do like the line where she's like, you may pay Brooklyn across the bridge, but right on the other side of that street, we're all criminals.
Yeah.
And it's like, this could go one of two ways for you. And basically they do kind of like a Goodfellas shakedown where you see like they start dumping like rotten garbage in front of the jeweler.
That's understatement.
It was gross. Or they like,
I was gagging as I was
watching. Yeah. Or they break into the jeweler and steal his stuff. And then finally the guy breaks down and is like, look, they are messed with, like, it is in our best interest. I don't know what kind of power they have over there, but it's in our best interest to pay them, hire their workers, and we'll be good to go. And there's one guy who's like, and says no, and he's outvoted basically. And then he gets blasted in the face. Like, somebody shoots him in the face. And I was like, it is hard. One of the charming things about, this is a weird way to put this, but the charming thing about Goodfellas or Casino or The Godfather is those characters are written and portrayed in a way where it's like, yeah, okay, we know you're bad guys, but we still kind of root for you.
Well, because they keep the ecosystem very closed in a good mob.
They're hitting mob people,
and so like they're only killing other people that have chosen to be in this world.
Yes,
and
Sonny's a bad dude,
right?
But at the same time, you're like, oh man, they killed Sonny,
right? Because you've picked a side,
yeah. Exactly.
Right? The movie
exactly.
gives you a POV, and you pick a side,
right?
And because like they even address in the Godfather when he kills the police officer. And he's like, I can't kill a police. Yeah, he's a civilian. And they're like, Michael's like, he's on the take. He's a dirty cop.
Right.
Like, I think a lot of you got people that work for the papers. I think they'd like a story about a dirty cop who gets taken, you know, like, it's like, he's not a civilian.
Right.
Like, you know,
At that point, you're just like, all right.
And I think that's more for the viewers than it is for the other people in the movie. Because then
they become straight up villains.
Right. And then that way the people watching the movie, especially in 1972, are like, oh, I can't root for people who killed a cop.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, but he killed a dirty cop who was in bed with the mafia.
Right.
So he's one of them. And then that's the risk you take.
You get the out.
Yeah.
But in this one, like, that dude didn't do anything. Like, he just said no. You know what I mean? Like, he said he didn't want to do it.
But you could also make the argument that they were already in bed with mobsters. They're dealing with Brooklyn. They're using Brooklyn
for
protection.
I guess that's true.
But you also can then make the counter argument that you don't really get the option to not pay protection.
Yeah. And it's not like they threatened him directly. Like, they show, like, this is an example, I think, of what you were saying about the movie going too fast, because the girls sit down with, like, the head guy. But they don't sit down with this guy.
Right. Like, this guy didn't necessarily know how deep they were in, or the ramifications of saying no. Because in his mind, he's like, I have to choose between two mob outfits.
Yeah.
I can choose between the one that we've been working with and we see is tough, or this new one that's run by women who's claiming to be tough.
Right.
Who would you pick?
Yeah. I think that's a fair point.
Yeah.
And so they don't show that portion of it, that they sit down and have a conversation.
I agree. So they kill that guy, and then things get moving pretty quickly. The union gets behind Melissa McCarthy. It almost feels like they can't vote her as, like, the union president, but, like, if you know anything about,
kind of de facto.
Right, right.
Yeah.
She gave them jobs is really what it comes down to.
She's definitely their hero.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting, like, how often unions come up in mob movies. Like, it's always a point of point. Like, I feel like if you are writing a mafia movie, whether it's the Irish or the Italian or whoever else, unions, like, look, one of the things you need to put in here are the unions. And so let's go ahead and do that.
Well, clearly, jobs are.
yeah.
Well, that's I think that whole that new Scorsese movie
is all about Hoffa and the
mobs. There was one guy that was really good starring Ray Stevenson, called Kill the Irishman.
Okay.
That is insanely good. That is basically all the same thing. It's all centered on, like, dock jobs in Cleveland or something.
Yeah.
So then they get things get rolling, and then all of a sudden here when I saw this guy walking, I was like, this effing movie with the stereotypical Italian. Like, as soon as I saw him walk around the corner, I was like, well, that guy's from the Italian mob. I know that look.
Hey, at least he was a good guy.
That's true. Yeah, it's true.
For a killer.
For a murderer.
Yeah. He was a man of his word.
Hey, that whole Italian mob was pretty dang respectful.
I got to tell
you.
That's what I'm saying.
You ain't kidding. You ain't. I was like, well, this is all right. Like, at least they weren't, like, complete, you know. So he basically say, like, Mr. So-and-so would like a meeting with you. And I do like where she's like, either this is going to go well or I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Like, this could go one of two ways. So they go to the meeting, and the Italian mob boss kind of says, look, you've got this thing on lockdown there. Like, that's legit. I'm not going to say anything, but we want in. And of course, Tiffany Haddish is like, no, like, this is our place. This is our thing. But Melissa McCarthy, who is kind of the voice of reason, is like, OK, what exactly do you want? And they want, like, 30% of the workers to come from Brooklyn and to be Italian. The other can take care of themselves. At the same time, we get a cut of the money, and also you get us as your protection. And they were just like, okay, like, that seems like a he's like, I guess the other option was I kill all of you.
Right.
And I just take it all.
Well, and he made a good point, too, that, like, when your husbands get out, that, you know, we'll be your protection. And they were like, well, our protection, our husbands aren't going to get out for 2 years. And he's like, yeah, just kidding. It's 4 months because I'm more wired in than you guys are.
I did like that line where he's like, I got more people than you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so this is another problem they have to contend with, where now the husbands are getting out and they needed
the cops and the judges that he carried in his pocket like so many nickels and dimes.
I love that line.
I know.
So the husbands get out, and it's kind of, so at this point, Elizabeth Moss and her and Domhnall Gleeson are in a relationship, and she moves out of the apartment, and the husband kind of shows up back at her place with her new beau, and they kill that dude.
Like, yeah,
the husbands don't last long, except for Melissa McCarthy's, who lasts longer the than longest. The rest.
Yeah.
So they kind of say, there's been a hit put, like the Italians kind of have another meeting. They say there's a hit on all three of you. Who put it out? Tiffany Haddish's husband puts it out. And this is, I think, to me, this is where her character does it. Like, this is the 180 for her character.
Yeah.
Where she's like, that's it. I'm done. She has a sit down with her mom, who, like, I had to, you know, basically says, I had to beat the softness out of you.
Right.
So at this point, now all hell's, but she, they go to the Italian mob and they say, look, what's the contract? And they say it's like, you know, 500 grand or something. I was like, that's
no, it was less.
It was like 50 grand.
It was 75,000.
It was 25 each for a total of 75.
No, it was 75 each. And I thought
it was 25 each, but then she was like, I'll give you 100.
Maybe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll give you, it was 70. It was 25 each for a total of 75. And then Tiffany Haddish says, I'll give you 100 to take them all out.
Yeah.
And they were like, dunzo.
And but then Melissa McCarthy freaked out because she was like, hey, why are you killing my husband?
Right. Yeah. Well, she says, did Jimmy have anything to do with it? And they were just like, we got nothing on that guy. But then she also defends the kid.
Yeah, the young guy.
Like
Colin.
And they were just like, look, he doesn't want anything to do with
she's
this.
Like, he's 19.
He's
like,
just, he's kind of dumb. So
he's
like,
just a stupid kid.
Right. Just leave him alone. They were like, okay. And they left that kid alone. That's foreshadowing. That is not a good move on her part.
No.
So the mob shows up. They take out Kevin. They take out the gal that was sleeping with Kevin. They take out, I guess, Elizabeth Moss kills her husband. And then they kind of just start wiping out this mob. And they say, look, either you're with us or you're not. And they were like, well, I guess we're with us. We're with you.
Well, you know, I think you forgot a part where Tiffany Haddish has her moment with the mom.
That was the next part.
Okay.
But
thought it was just before they got out of prison because.
Maybe you're
because
right.
Because the mom needed money. She came to Tiffany Haddish and asked for money.
Yeah.
And Tiffany Haddish was like, let's go to dinner and discuss it. And she's like, you're never going to give me. The mom was like, you're never going to give me this money anyway. And she was like a complete bitch to her.
Yeah, totally.
And I feel like that's when we really saw her character change. We didn't know what it was really going to mean, but that's when we saw who she really was, because she takes her to this restaurant and the mom walks toward the steps and she's like, it's all dark down there. They're not even open. And then Tiffany Haddish just shoves her down the stairs and kills her.
Yep. And says restaurants aren't open on Mondays.
Yeah. You dumbass or something like that. She calls her a mean name.
She does. This is the point where the three women. And also it's interesting to watch that relationship kind of start to fall apart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where Tiffany Haddish is definitely taking it's just business and I am refusing to let any of this go. Like I, you know, set all this up and I'm not letting this go. I'm not going back to where I was. So everybody's dead at this point.
yeah.
And it turns out, so Jimmy, who's Melissa McCarthy's husband, kind of starts to waver. I guess like this entire time he's kind of understood what the deal was, but now like he hasn't, he feels like
he makes a very valid point here where he says, you didn't create a role for us. Like,
I agree.
Like he's like, it's not even that you run it. It's that like you just expected us to just sit around and do nothing.
The problem is he doesn't say that till he's in the room.
That's also true.
Yes. Like he could have had that discussion before that critical moment. Right.
That is not untrue.
Yeah. You are correct. Yeah.
I was like, there's way a time, too late, buddy.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for that conversation.
And
that was not
you
it.
Turned on your wife would have been the
right,
appropriate
right.
moment.
And right. risk the lives of your children.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was effed up.
Yeah. So this is where we get the reveal that Tiffany Haddish planned this entire thing. She's been legitimately in bed with Common this whole time. They set up the husbands. They set up everything. She played Melissa McCarthy's strings to make her, you know, get this ball rolling. And now here we are. we find the other,
she's been plotting this for years, like,
right?
Like her being in a relationship with Kevin was
the reason.
That was the whole reason. Which, you know, going back to the point where you were like about outsiders not coming in. I mean, they kind of made their own point there. Yeah. Yeah.
This is why you don't bring them in.
Yeah.
So racists aren't always wrong.
No. That's not what I'm saying.
Sometimes racism works.
If you're gonna be a mobster, you protect your little inner circle. Is what I was saying.
That is correct.
Do not twist my words.
So this the whole thing, like, and Tiffany Haddish basically pushes Melissa McCarthy out at this point. They want to bring in Uptown, which I assume is Harlem.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
They want to, you know, do all this. And this
why
is,
do you assume it's Harlem, Joe?
Because isn't that above?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay.
Is.
Yeah.
He was trying to do the racist trick.
Yeah. 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 I was just trying to think geographically what would be Uptown.
Yeah.
So they're trying to bring it, and this is like Tiffany Haddish goes full Tiffany Haddish at this point. Like she is talking different, like she's using different slang, and she's gone full Tiffany Haddish. And Melissa McCarthy doesn't really know what to do. Like she is kind of lost at this point. She feels, Colin freaking kills Elizabeth Moss.
Yeah.
Like which was a great scene, by the way.
There was an audible gasp, like in the theater behind me when she gets shot. So
there are some really good scenes in this movie.
Yeah, there are.
Well, and I love how she pulled the gun before her boyfriend.
I do like
that.
He's like,
that whole scene was just great.
Yeah. I like where he's like, "Did you get him first?" And she's like, "I did." He's like, "All right.
Yeah.
Very good."
And then
I was like, it's like for him being kind of a sociopath.
Right.
He's also adorable.
He was also like, he wasn't threatened by it. He's like, right on. Yeah. Good for
good
you.
Good for you. Reminded me of you. I mean, without the killing.
Yeah. I think everybody knows I'm not tough enough to do that.
But so Colin, the basically is the hit is out there. And the Italians are taking care of it for the most part. But Colin is the one that Melissa McCarthy says, let him go, shows up at Elizabeth Moss' apartment and pulls a gun. And we do think that she got him first. But it turns out she didn't actually kill him and she gets shot and dies. And this is like
he was only mostly dead.
Mostly dead. Kind of sort of dead. And this is the turn. Like this is where Gabriel turns on Elizabeth Moss and no, I'm sorry. Gabriel turns on Melissa McCarthy, and Tiffany Haddish kind of turns on her too. So Melissa McCarthy goes to pick up the kids at school one day and the kids aren't there. And then she freaks out. And then she gets a phone call from the Italian mob boss. And he's like, you should come here. Like you need to come see me right
now. He's like, I have your kids.
Right. And they're safe.
They're
safe. Like the way he says it, it's kind of like
comforting.
You're okay. Like
yeah.
I've got them. They're safe. It's fine. So she walks in.
Cause also everything I've read about the Italian mob is they want to keep you in line,
they won't mess with your kids.
They're not going to go kill a 7 and 10 year old.
No.
Like that's just
no. Well, no, they won't. So she walks in, and actually, it's funny. Like this gal who plays the Italian mob boss's wife, I'm pretty sure was a detective on Law and Order.
She definitely looked familiar.
Yeah, I think she was on what? I think she was on Criminal Intent.
Guy, I never watched that one.
That's
know.
The best one. Vincent D'Onofrio, so good. It was great. So he kind of like she walks in the room and there's Jimmy, and I do like where even that like there's a code of conduct where the mob boss is like, look, dude, he came to me and wanted me to kill you, so you decide what you want to do.
Right.
And she was like, and she's struggling with it. She's like, I don't know what to do. I don't blah blah blah. And he was like, in this business, you're gonna have to make hard decisions. This guy brought your kids to a mob meeting.
Right.
Yeah, which because you don't really understand at that point, but basically she realizes that he took the kids there as like protection, that he was gambling that because he brought the children, right, the mob boss would not kill him.
Right,
right.
So
and
he
so
used
that's
them
a pretty
as
big a pretty big gamble to take with your children.
Yeah, he used them as human shields.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what? This and she walks out of the room, and all of a sudden you hear like two silenced gunshots.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's the end of Jimmy. That's the end of that. So we get to the funeral of Jimmy, and they kind of sit down, and the dad is like, look, I know I said some things, but you did the right. We know everybody knows what you did, but you did the right thing. Like when it comes to your kids and your family, you do what's right and you did the right thing. And you kind of like they have this moment of like they found their middle ground and they were just okay with each other. like that relationship probably isn't going to be the best for going forward.
Yeah.
But they found this middle ground and they agreed that this was the best option after Jimmy took the kids to a mob meeting to
yeah,
take
but she
care
also says that she didn't do it for herself. She's or she didn't do it for the kids. She did it for her because
right.
she wasn't going back. So I thought that was an interesting parent-child relationship moment there because, yeah, they did find a middle ground, but she also corrected him and was like, that's not why I did this.
Sure. You sure. Know? That's totally legit.
I thought that was an interesting point.
Yeah. So Tiffany Haddish and Melissa McCarthy kind of see each other outside of the funeral. They like, we need to have a talk. Let's go down to the what like the bakery shop or whatever.
Somebody wasn't paying.
Yeah. And I do like where she's getting ready and I was like, mm-mm. This is bad. So she walks in and here they're in the back office. We see Tiffany Haddish and then here comes Gabriel as well. And I was like, God dang it. Like this is going to be one of those Mexican standoffs where everybody dies.
Mexican standoff with the Irish.
With the Irish, yeah. Yeah, and the Italians. Yeah.
Oh, that actress was on Criminal Intent.
Yeah.
She played Detective Caroline Barrick.
Sure.
Okay.
So I think she was Chris Noth's partner. Because, you know, Chris Noth couldn't get away from Law and Order to save his life.
Yes.
I guess to do Sex in the City. But
yeah,
that was
he did
about
that.
It, yeah.
But she was also she was in Luke Cage and Daredevil, Rosalie Carbone.
So another Italian.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Oh, if we're just going to go straight down that route.
I knew a guy in high school. His last name was Carbone. Which
oh, that's hilarious.
She also played Gloria Trillo on The Sopranos.
All
she
right.
Was,
okay.
She
oh.
was the Mercedes salesman
yes.
that he has the affair with.
Yes, that's yes. right. Okay.
So she seems to have a little.
She's the character actress version of Marissa Tomei.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they show up. Tiffany Haddish and Gabriel walk out. And as soon as they walk out, they realize, oh, the entire Irish mob is behind her. Well, I guess not the mob, but the community.
The community.
The community.
Yeah,
the neighborhood.
Right. So they have a talking and they decide, like, look, you take Harlem. I'll take Hell's Kitchen. And then together we'll go and deal with Brooklyn and deal with whatever.
Yeah.
And then they kind of come to agreement, and then that's kind of how it ends, is they walk out
yeah.
of the...
Did we ever really spell out that, like, Tiffany Haddish had also orchestrated the FBI, because she's sleeping with
yes.
the guy, and that they deliberately took a dive? I know we talked about
yes.
it at the very
oh,
beginning.
Oh, sure.
But, like, the FBI guy deliberately...
Common legitimately took a
so
dive.
So the husbands could go to jail.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, she orchestrated things.
And his partner, he kills his partner.
Yeah, he does shoot his own part, which was another scene where I was like, oh, like the guy's
yeah.
calling. It was kind of Tarantino-esque.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
it comes out of nowhere.
It did.
Yeah.
Like he's on the phone calling in like a you know, like a radio
like a
check.
Check-in.
And then all of a sudden his brains are also splattered across this whole thing. And I was like, oh, and then you see a car drive away in the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, Common sets this whole thing
She's
up.
Like basically Kaiser Soze.
Basically, yeah. And that's kind of how it ends. So it was fine.
You know, I felt like it would have, like, there's so much story packed into this hour
yeah,
and 43
I'm
minutes.
I'm almost positive it was six issues.
Nothing has time to kind of, I don't know, percolate or
yeah.
expand or, like, I feel like this was, like, a season of television compressed into
an hour and 40 minutes.
An hour and 43 minutes.
Yeah.
And
I agree with that, but from a movie-going standpoint, I would also say it kept you entertained and it was very quick paced, so like it was also an enjoyable just watch without having to think too hard movie, just a general
I totally
movie,
agree
you know
it didn't rewrite history. It was a solid hour and 40 minutes. It didn't drag.
Yeah, I think if you stumbled across this on, you know, TNT 2
yeah.
years from now,
yeah, I
and
totally
you're just
agree.
Like, okay, whatever, the, you'd be like, oh how about that.
Yeah,
that
was I would call it a movie. Solid rental.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this thing. There was no black character.
She wasn't black?
Nope.
Interesting.
It's an eight issue run.
Okay.
I'm looking at the main cover.
I wonder if they like rewrote it specifically for Tiffany
I'm trying
Haddish.
To remember if there was an issue of that character and like her being an outsider.
Right.
But I'm looking at the cover of this book and nope.
Hmm.
Tiffany Haddish at this point in Hollywood is kind of one of the hot things. So getting her into this movie definitely helps.
Yeah, I think the story works better.
I would agree.
With that element.
Yeah.
Like that story element.
Right.
Not like that.
No, I get
yeah.
it. I knew what you were.
Yeah.
Now who's the racist?
I know, right? But I liked that angle. I didn't really care for Tiffany Haddish in this movie all that much. I like her.
Yeah.
But I felt like her acting chops weren't quite there.
She did okay.
I also felt like Melissa McCarthy had trouble holding her accent.
She did, but she did better being a serious actor than I ever thought she could pull off.
Yeah.
She had little moments of levity, but I think overall she did not do like the dopey pratfall bull.
And people also, I mean, she fell into.
I know, but even when she was like on Gilmore Girls, that was her whole thing. Was like she was always dropping stuff and out of control.
Really?
Yeah, like that's why it was just like that's all I could see her as, because that was my. I used to watch Gilmore Girls. So that was my first interaction with Melissa McCarthy.
Jared Padalecki was on that show.
I don't even know who that is. But.
I think he was Rory's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I have to say Elizabeth Moss was by far the best.
Yes.
And like the way her line reading.
She's really good.
Yeah.
She is.
Like,
I love her.
There are so many things that she brings to this movie that that aren't on the page. That's just in how she reads the line. Like when they're going to meet the mob boss and she's like, what do you wear? Something like that. Do you get dressed up?
Or just like, what are you talking about?
Like, you could have read that line a million ways. And like somehow she inserts her own bloodlust into this line about she's just like, this is awesome.
Yes.
We're getting to go meet with the mob boss.
Right, she's like,
I can't wait.
This is so much fun.
Yeah. And it's and I'm like, oh my God. I love her.
She's a fantastic actress. Yeah. She's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, catch it on Netflix.
Yeah. So
there you go.
There is that one. I guess let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
Facebook, Crystal D. O'Keefe. Wait, I always say that wrong. Facebook.com/CrystalD.O'Keefe.
You're not going to do the rest, or on Twitter and Instagram,
or the bike. Instagram, the bike, or the tread at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert, or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, you can join the League of Show Sharers and just join the conversation throughout the week. We would love to hear from
you. We would. That's very true.
So that's it for this one. Coming up next time, we will tackle... what a scary stories to tell in the dark.
Yeah.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Irene isn't a tax consultant.
A stove is a stove, no matter where you go.
A patty is a patty. That's what I say.
A grill is a grill. This is surely so.
And fries should be fries either way.
But this grill is not a home.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.